It will be up to parents to vote and decide if a convicted white supremacist jailed 2 years ago will be able to get onto the board of a local school. The principal of Te Aratai College, or what used to be Linwood College, has confirmed Philip Arps has put his name forward for one of five trustee positions. Arps was jailed for 21 months in 2019 for sending the video of the Christchurch terror attacks to 30 people. Te Aratai is a short drive from where the second of the March 19 attacks took place at Linwood Mosque. The chair of the Federation of Islamic Associations of New Zealand, Abdul Razak, says this is a targeted approach to cause more upset.
These people want to take part in elections, knowing very well that their chances are very low. If that's in America, they do go for school boards and also their municipalities. In New Zealand, the equivalent, of course, our school trustees and also our district councils and like. What we have here is they know that very well they won't get in, but they want to create media. And what's the reason for that? They want to bring their hate from side stream to actually mainstream. They want to normalize hate, as you see it nowadays, where people start talking about it as if it's something normal. Worse still, you know, they want to create disharmony and they want to take issues. And you see that with ARPS as well, you know, with the anti-vax movement. But the absolute ones, which the Royal Commission actually did talk about, and which is these people actually are aimed to provoke reaction and also insight like-minded. This is what worries us, that this is a trend. It's not a one-person thing. This is a trend around New Zealand, around the world.
A parent at the school and counsellor for the Heathcote ward, Sarah Templeton, says the rules around who is eligible are not sufficient.
I know that the school has worked really hard to check to see whether he's eligible, and it is a grey area and that needs to change. So any member of staff or even parent helpers who help at the school on school trips and things all need to have police vetting, and that's not the same for Board of Trustees members, even though in high school cases Board of Trustees have student reps on them.
The President of the Secondary Principals Association, Vaughan Quio, joins us now. Kia ora, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Very well. What's your understanding of the rules? Should he actually be allowed to stand?
So when you read who isn't able to stand, he doesn't meet any of those criteria. So the short answer is, in terms of the legislation, he is able to do what he is doing.
The board here, though, clearly has got some advice where they are not sure. So there's some ambiguity there.
Well, not really. It's just about interpretation. So there's one particular paragraph there that says, if a person who can't stand for a board is a person who has been convicted of an offence punishable by imprisonment of 2 years or more. So their checking would have been probably to see what his sentence was, and his sentence was 21 months, which is obviously less than 2 years. But also the particular piece of legislation goes on to say that that person, if they have served their sentence, can then stand. And so in terms of being punished and serving that punishment with regard to running for a board, that seems to satisfy the criteria to be eligible to run, which does seem a little odd based on the comments made earlier around police vetting and all of that sort of stuff, which, you know, we want standing for our boards, good role models that can help lead our organisations.
So you want police vetting there as well, do you?
Well, you want something probably a little bit more rigorous than what we've got at the moment, because the criteria at the moment in this particular instance seems to fall woefully short of what the general population would expect.
End of the day here, putting those legal issues aside, nobody, and particularly this school, but no school's going to want a white supremacist on their board. So what do they do?
Well, in a democracy that we live in, people have the right to exercise their voting preference. And so you would hope that that community would exercise its voter discretion and make sure that that person doesn't get on the board by voting for everybody else.
Do you think, though, this is, I mean, firstly, are you seeing any other instances of people with these similar sorts of views deliberately targeting board positions, particularly, I imagine, in areas where there might not be that many candidates?
Yes, probably not to this extreme, but there certainly are stories over various elections and various cycles where in a localised context there's been movement to oust an existing regime, or a group of parents don't like a particular leadership style that the school's got, so they all put themselves forward. So in a very local sense, this has been going on for a number of years, but not quite as unsavoury as this one.
Yes, but I guess the issue that people are worried about here is that this global trend of extremism and extreme groups with extreme views seeking to get elected to these boards, targeting these types of elections to get publicity, to push their or normalise their message. Are you worried or seeing that?
I haven't seen any evidence of that other than this one in New Zealand. And Mr. Razak mentioned some stuff before, and I'm sure he's got more information than me. So nothing's come to our attention in terms of school boards in a secondary setting in New Zealand, but it certainly is a worry internationally. And if it's just an opportunity to gain some media attention, then I don't like using our children and the governance of their schools as a way of getting yourself some infamy. It's poor form all around.
What should schools and communities do, in your view, if they encounter a situation like this?
Well, the easiest thing for everyone to do is to vote. And so if the population mobilises, and this particular person's views are quite outside of societal norms, if society votes, they won't get their way. And if we don't like their posts and share posts and all of that sort of thing, then the aim that they have of getting notoriety falls away.
Do you think, though, is there any cause for a tightening of the rules? So those vetting rules Sarah Templeton was talking about, coming back to those, should they be put in, you know, in law in a sense that, you know, you have to have a police vetting done?
Yeah, I would have said, you know, a couple of cycles ago, no, because these rules are good enough, they're pretty harsh. But when this circumstance comes up, you want to have a look at these rules and you go, actually, they've fallen short of protecting our children. And so we probably need to go back and have a look at them.
And just finally, I just want to, just for a last bit of clarification on your understanding of that, the legal issue around this. A person who is a person who's been convicted or of an offence punishable by imprisonment for 2 years or more. And that is the key bit.
Unless they've served their sentence.
Right.
So once a person has served their sentence, my interpretation of that particular piece is, once they've served, they are then eligible to stand.
I see. So what now? Do we need some sort of, if the school's still in this grey area, if we're still grappling with this, we need some sort of legal clarification here, don't we?
Well, probably not in this case, because it's quite clear that this person's sentence was less than 2 years. It doesn't even meet the original threshold. So in terms of, it's quite clear for this person. However, it's whether or not as a society we're happy with those mitigations, or whether we want to go back and have a look at them and prevent this from happening again.
All right, Vaughan Quio, thank you very much. President of the Secondary Principals Association.